Good afternoon, everybody. I will call to order the Executive Committee of the Coachella Valley Association of Governments for Monday, June 3rd, 2024 at 4:30 p.m. And we have a roll call, please.
City of Coachella. City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Indio.
Right.
29 Palms Bad Mission Indian. Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Indian.
Right behind you.
Cabazon Band of Cahuilla and Band of Cahuilla Indian. Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indian.
Oh, here.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indian.
Here.
City of Indian Well.
Present.
City of Cathedral City.
Present.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Blythe. County.
Here.
Present. County Riverside District 4. County of Riverside District 5. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Would everybody please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Place your hand over your heart, pledging to our nation's flag. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, which is the agenda modifications. If there's no objections, we'd like to move the air quality report up, which is item E, Edward 8E. But we are going to wait until our county supervisor arrives, which he's running a few minutes late, and he has to leave a little early, so we'd like to move that item up. Is there any objections to that?
None.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to five, public comments on agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
No, Chair, we do not have any.
Move to the Chair and Executive Director announcements. I have no announcements. Would you like to have some announcements?
Yeah, I do, and I think I sent an email out to some or all of you regarding some transportation funding that we received. I mentioned it at today's Transportation Committee as well. This is federal funding that will be approved, I assume, by SCAG on Thursday. And that federal funding is a mix of air quality related funding and kind of standard surface transportation funding. It's been kind of a long road. SCAG has not historically awarded these funds. This is their first time in doing so, perhaps ever. And if not ever, in a long, long time, these funds used to be awarded by county transportation commissions. They're now awarded by SCAG. There's been a process involved working through the county transportation commissions. There's a lot of gory details associated with that. Long story, shorter, and that is we are being recommended for $7.5 million of funding for Indian Canyon, which is closed again today through the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And another bit of great news, $5 million for Sunline Transit. Five more clean fuel vehicles for Sunline Transit, bringing the Coachella Valley's total work to over $12.5 million. Of about $33 million awarded for the entire county. So in some ways, we did more than our, quote, fair share, which is great news as far as I'm concerned. So more on that. And to those that sit on the SCAG Regional Council, you'll see more on this. And we will have staff there providing support that you need or that Mr. Sanchez needs as you vote on this Thursday. No other
great news.
Comments, unless Erica, did I miss anything? General Assembly, I guess. Monday, June 24th, 6 p.m.
In Desert Hot Springs.
In Desert Hot Springs, along with the next executive committee. Register.
Eat
either. I've
already done my meal, so don't you have the chicken?
Perfect.
Me too.
Chicken and meal.
Great. We'll move on to item number seven, which is our consent calendar. If there's no comments or anyone that wants to fill any items, I'll take a motion.
Motion.
Second, India.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you very much. Item 7A, is any items held over from consent calendar? Is not. We'll move to item 8A, which is the preview of the CVAG's budget for fiscal year 24-25.
Well, thank you, Chair Mattis. I'm Claude. I don't know everyone here. I'm the finance director of CVAG.
Thank you for giving us a little attention. And this is JJ. She's our accountant who really took the reins on the budget this year. We had a new software, and she really helped all of our transportation folks get their numbers in there and get them right. So before we jump into our quick presentation, I'd like to thank the Finance Committee members Some are here today, like Mayor Pro Tem Weil from, what city are you from? Rancho Mirage. That's right, a great city there. And we also had Raymond Gregory. He was our committee chair from Cathedral City. And Chair Milanovic, tribal chair there, he's on there. Sean Isaac from the Torres Martinez sits on that. We have John McMillan from the city of La Quinta, always giving us great input. And then from the city of Blythe, Mallory. Miss Mallory has been on our committee. We appreciate her input too, Mayor Joey. So with that, we're going to look at a quick preview of CBAG's fiscal year 24-25 budget. And that's next year, right? Because this year's the year before that. So we're talking about next year's budget starting July 1st. And I just want to recap the public part of this process. Started back in February when we first met with the Finance Committee to look at the CalPERS unfunded accrued liability. And we got a recommendation from the Finance Committee then to pay it down by $250,000. And we have about a $2 million balance on that there. And then in April, we met with the Administrative Personnel Committee, a subset of this committee, and we went over that same payment, and that was concurred with, and that's in the budget packet with you, as well as a couple other things we discussed with the Admin Personnel Committee was the cost of living adjustment, came in at 2.9%, and that was added to the budget, including the salaries and salary ranges. And then you'll see your membership dues in there, a tiny adjustment. And then we met again with the Finance Committee to let them know what the Admin Committee had worked on with us. And that's what you're going to see today is what the Finance Committee's approved. And I'll kick it off to JJ.
First, let's look at our budget structure. The CBAG budget isn't just about the CBAG itself. It also covers the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission and Desert Community Energy because CBAG provides the staffing and overheads for these two agencies. So their costs are integrated into CBAG's overall budget. And next, let's look at some key assumptions that we make for the budget. First, we have included 2.9% of COLA in the budget, as Claude mentioned earlier, matching the CPI rate. And not just the salary, we also budgeted our other expenditures conservatively. And even though the inflation rate has been increasing and the interest rates are high, there are many signs indicates that rates might drop. So we also budgeted our investment revenue conservatively. And our fiscal year 24-25 budget includes some major initiatives. First, we are implementing our new enterprise resource planning system starting fiscal year 24-25. And yes, it will increase the overall CBAG budget, yet all these costs are shared across multiple costing center and agencies, as I mentioned earlier. And besides the cost that we pay for our current accounting system, we also have budgeted some one-time costs for Veritas and Oracle that will help us in the implementation. And Evan later will provide more detail in his report about the new ERP system implementation. Next, our City Housing First program run by our staff has made significant progress in finding permanent housing for Coachella Valley homeless population. However, we are expecting fewer contributions in fiscal year 24-25. Next, our Inland Regional Energy Network is a partnership with Western Riverside Council of Governments and San Bernardino Council of Governments. Together, we are creating locally managed and designed energy efficiency program. The CPUC approved business plan provides the funding for these programs and to the tune of $750,000 across the Coachella Valley. And next, our key transportation projects includes the completion of CivilLink in fiscal 24-25 and ongoing CivSync initiative. And we are also focusing on the Monroe and I-10 interchange to improve our regional arterial network. And also the flooding and blow sand is also one of our major transportation projects in fiscal year 24-25. For all these transportation projects, we have both internal and external funding budgeted. Let's look at our general funds. The fiscal year 24-25 project net access for the general funds is about $795,000, with most of the revenue are coming from membership dues. With the beginning balance of $2.7 million by adding the net access, we are expecting to end the fiscal year with the balance of $3.5 million.
All right. Thank you, JJ. Wrapping up here, being a regional planning agency, you can see by the colors there that the majority of CVAG's revenue comes in for transportation department dollars. And last year was close to $100 million. And look at the significant growth that we're having for next year's budget. This is all revenue that covers the cost of those programs, that some of which JJ just went over. And it's important to note, we looked into it, and this is CVAG's largest budget ever. So good job getting all those dollars in. And good luck, John. And it's a similar picture on the expenditure side. Most of the money, obviously, is coming into our transportation department. And with that, that was the first preview of the budget. It's been through the finance committee and portions through the admin, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have or ask you to move this forward.
Great report. Yeah, in terms of the information I have at this stage, you'll have another, close to 30 days, less than a month to take a look at this. We'll be back on again at the executive committee and then go forward to the general assembly for final consideration and hopefully approval.
Thank you, guys. I'll be back up in a minute.
Good work, JJ.
Thank you.
We're going to move to item 8E. Lingering air quality concerns in coordination with South Coast Air Quality Management Association.
Kurt. Yeah, some background on this, and let the record note that Supervisor Perez is now part of the meeting, and it's good that he is, particularly on this item, because, of course, he does represent us at South Coast Air Quality Management District, and he's been at our side on this issue for as long as it's been an issue, which is probably forever, but in a big way since Tropical Storm Hillary. And by way of background, you might remember those days in August and September of last year that were horrible air quality-wise. We had days, two or three days of just murky air that you couldn't see 50 feet, let alone 5,000. And shortly after that, we contacted South Coast Air Quality Management District. And they were actually already on top of it. And the way they were on top of it is when they were looking at the air quality data, they realized that their models weren't predicting what was happening. It wasn't blowing wind. It wasn't, 35 mile an hour winds. And yet they're having this major air quality problem. And they realized with us, something very different was happening. And that difference was Tropical Storm Hillary ended up bringing down, 13 inches of rain in 12 hours in Upper Mission Creek. An unprecedented amount of rain, at least since the 1970s. Certainly unprecedented for our knowledge of Mission Creek. And Mission Creek went from being a small little drainage to what, Mayor?
Five times.
Yeah, five times the size. And for those that haven't seen it, you may see it on your way up or back from the General Assembly in Desert Hot Springs. We'll show you some locations where you could see that. Mission Creek deposited so much mud that, of course, it choked itself along the way and, of course, closed Interstate 10 and deposited mud in about 6,000 to 8,000 acres along the freeway. And that's what's really different here, that we've had mud flows before out of our mountains, but this mud ended up at precisely the wrong place for the Coachella Valley. And that is in the windiest part of the Coachella Valley, you had major mud deposits. And then you had, of course, cities having to do what they had to do and moved the mud, how many homes were destroyed and certainly affected in Cathedral City?
15 that we know of.
And we certainly had them in Palm Desert as well. But all that mud, of course, then was moved and piled up. And mud is a much smaller diameter than sand, 1,000 times smaller. It is tiny compared to sand. We're used to dealing with sand in the Whitewater River. And there's perhaps thousands of feet of sand in the Whitewater floodplain. This is now mud on top of that. And what happens to mud or anything else out here after a little bit of sunlight? It dries out. So that dried out blue, and their district started changing their models. And when we chatted with them in September, and I raised an alarm with our county supervisor saying, well, what happens when the wind really blows? And the response was, we wouldn't worry about it. Manuel, if I'm unfairly characterizing South Coast, please stop me. But as I think most of you know, I'm pretty worked up about this. They said that area will revegetate a little bit. If there's a little bit of rain this winter, it'll revegetate. Well, we had actually a fair amount of rain. We had more rain than usual. And the area along the Whitewater River doesn't revegetate. It's windy as you know what there. It's not a place that grows a lot of vegetation. So we fast forward to this spring. We have some of the same conditions, not as bad as September, but we have some of the worst air quality we've ever had on the Thursday and Friday before Stagecoach. Mm-hmm. South Coast Air Quality Management District did put a new monitor back in India. One hadn't been working there for a few years. That new monitor record reported levels that were 3 times the federal exceedance standard over a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. Just as 75,000 people are coming in to enjoy the festival, but you know, they have, most of them have a choice. There were tens of thousands of people that had to be outside for days working at the festivals. They didn't have a choice. And all those outdoor workers in India, on Coachella and Mecca, were subject to this air quality. So, fast forward again. Our county supervisor helped facilitate a meeting just 3 weeks ago. South Coast Air Quality Management District weren't in the area. They had their executive team. We chatted with them, and they told us for the third time, things have returned to normal in the Coachella Valley. Things have returned to normal at Coachella Valley. And I can't believe that they could say that to us with a straight face. Things are not normal in the Coachella Valley. Air quality conditions are very different today than they have been in the past. And it's possible that South Coast is measuring federal standards, and we are just breathing what's happening here, have a more nuanced look at what's happening on air quality. But it is serious. So I sent a letter out, and our county supervisor has asked South Coast to come back to our Energy and Sustainability Committee meeting next week, where they're going to provide hopefully a little bit more nuanced view of air quality in Coachella Valley. But I do believe, whether it's CVAG, South Coast, or anybody else, we should be doing more. What we did in the fall was encourage Caltrans, Cathedral City, and everybody else to put soil cement out there wherever possible. Maybe we should do that again. Maybe we should seek FEMA money associated with the emergency declaration. But we need help from South Coast to do so. So that was my call for action, and I'm glad the supervisor is here to lead us in that.
Just very quickly, South Coast Air Quality Management District stated that things were fair. It wasn't potentially bad, according to the data. Now, the data, in my opinion, and the air monitors that are being used, in my opinion, they don't have enough of, and potentially they're measuring the wrong thing. And they stack up. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, obviously, we talk about air quality in very general terms quite a bit. Air quality is bad. And you know, when things It's the best that you see in the U.S. because what you see in front of you is what you know, and that's air quality. But for the most part, South Coast Air Quality Management District has been the driving force. The management district, air quality management district, just like Mojave, just like others, Imperial County, that monitor stationary sources and that monitor as well moving sources, mobile sources. What does that mean? Refiners, for example, is a stationary source. A granite construction, if you will, would be considered a stationary source. And the emissions that come from that are known as PM2.5. You also hear about PM2.5, PM10. What's the difference? PM2.5 is very, 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 very fine. You can't even see it. You don't even know it's impacting you. Mobile sources are like airplanes, trains, yachts, if you will, big ones. You know, they're coming in from China. We tend to, air quotes, and I say we because I sit on the board, we tend to monitor those type of stationary and mobile sources for PM2.5 to see how our ozone is doing, to see what air quality looks like in our area or throughout Southern California, throughout five counties. But I don't think we do enough when it comes to PM10. And this is what Thomas talked. Now, PM10, you could actually see it when there's enough of it. For example, we've seen it as we're driving through the pass and we're coming into Desert Hot Springs and into the Coachella Valley, and you see it in the air when there's a dust storm. It's usually natural causing as well, or unless it's a wildfire of sorts. And you breathe it. It has an impact on your health just as much as PM2.5, but we do not, in my opinion, have not been able to crack that with the culture or the thought process of South Coast Air Quality Management District and thinking about this specific region. It's very different from LA, from Orange County, from San Bernardino County. Riverside County even is different among itself between the West End and the East End. And so what I'm hoping we can get at is we start thinking about what potential solutions we can provide and what potential partners we need and what potential funding streams we need to go after in order for us to mitigate, suppress as much as possible this dust that we breathe in the air. Now, mind you, this dust, as you heard before from Tom, can be mud, and then eventually it gets compacted, and then eventually it becomes, because of the sun, begins to, I don't know, become this layer of, this cake layer thing of dirt, and then all of a sudden it's in the air after a course of some time because it's disturbed. That's what we have to be very worried about. For the longest time, we've been hearing issues and concerns about students and teachers on the east end of the valley specifically, and now we're starting to hear it from Thousand Palms area too. And I assume, I guess, Palm Springs as well as Desert Hot Springs. That we're having kids and teachers getting nauseated or getting nosebleeds. And we don't know why. But they seem to happen during these episodes. So what I'm hoping that we can do is, and it's unfortunate that my colleagues weren't here during the dust storm when we had our strategic planning meeting a couple of weeks ago, because that would have been, I think, a perfect setting for them to have seen it themselves. Mind you, I'm the only one from the desert. Everyone else is from city. They're not going through the same challenges and issues that we're going through here. So they don't necessarily see it. They don't understand it potentially. But it would have been great for them to have been here because they could have seen it with their own eyes and breathed it with their own lungs, I guess. So next time they come, which is going to be like a couple of weeks or so?
Or yeah, they'll be here a week from Thursday at our energy and sustainability meeting.
And my hope is that obviously we're going to hear them out. We're going to hear out what the data says and the evidence and all the information and what we do in the South Thursday Quality Management District. But I think it's going to be really important as well as we hear them out and we provide information as to what we see. We also provide solutions. Because I think that that's what's going to move the needle forward. We can go ahead and complain as much as we want, but if we don't provide solutions, we're not going to get anything. So I just want to make sure I state that out loud. And look, I get along very well with all my colleagues on South Coast, including the executive boss. I think they would be willing to work with us, to partner with us. It's just they don't know. So let's get them to know.
And I suppose if I could build on the solution, I did mention in the staff report, Desert Healthcare District is also engaging on this. Now, they started engaging actually before the dust storms started to occur, but they have set aside a relatively significant amount of money. I think it's $1.5 million, if I remember correctly, Manuel, to evaluate the public health implications of air quality issues in the Coachella Valley and look at solutions. I believe they're holding a listening session tomorrow at the RAP building midday. What?
10 to 12.
10 to 12. Thank you.
I'll be there.
And for those, anybody that does want to chime in, that's a good time and place to do so. And that effort is a little slower moving because they'll be piecing together public health information over time. But I'm sure we will learn from it and get great data. And I did encourage South Coast to participate with Desert Healthcare District. That is a great partnership, along with, of course, CVAC. So hopefully we're heading in the right direction here, but I'm screaming as loud as I possibly can, everybody. And if it's not appropriate for me to do so, let me know. But I believe this may be one of the biggest threats to our economy and public health that we've seen in a long time.
Yes. Question.
Before we get to questions, just want to note for the record that the city of Coachella has arrived. It's here for the record.
In our early May Energy and Sustainability Committee meeting, that was when we were made aware that the Indio Monitor hadn't been there for months, obviously probably since the storm, and that a new one was going to be placed. That one was being replaced for 10 and 2.5, and then the Vistachino Geonatry was going to be placed at some point soon, right, by EQMD. So what data did they show if there weren't actual monitors here? Salton Sea clearly has monitors in their neck of the woods, but when you're talking about the impact from Hillary, what data did they produce that they said it was of normal nature?
The regulatory monitors are located in Mecca and Palm Springs. There had been one in Indio for a long time because of a relocation of a fire station or maybe the police station. It has been non-operational for a few years. It has been operational for the past 2 months, I believe, right, Emmanuel? And the one in Cathedral City is not operational yet. So they were looking at Mecca and Palm Springs.
Yes, to answer your question, they were looking at those two monitors. And I don't think that's the
question. Yeah. I don't know, maybe this is an elementary question, but are the school districts involved in this? Because I on the north side of North India, we have Shadow Hills High School. We have Olafak School, which my daughter goes to, which right next to Ag Fields. And there's a lot of dust coming there. And, you know, the supervisor mentioned it. But as he mentioned that the symptoms of the kids are experiencing, my daughter has been coming home with headaches on those days. And so I think it's very alarming. I think that school districts being involved in this would be a good recommendation as well, if they're already not.
They are. Manuel, we reached out to school districts in addition to the work South Coast does. And South Coast as much as I'm being critical, they're doing a very good job, I believe, on warning. And you'll see it on morning newscast. You'll see it online. And they do reach out to the school districts as well. And when we reached out to the school districts, they are taking extra care to restrict activity, right, Manuel? You reached out to the school districts?
No, just very quickly, folks, you know, not to defend, but just like every entity that we work with that's a government entity that's based on funding from the state of California. The other reality of that, it is understaffed. And it's under-resourced, underfunded. And every year after year after year, a new law gets passed, which is a good thing because it's going to benefit underserved areas. It's going to benefit communities like ours overall when it comes to air quality issues. However, no funding is ever attached to it. So I will say that these folks, I think they do care. I think we have to just work with them, maybe a little bit of a push here and there. But they're also operating under extreme pressure. And I know that for a fact is a board meeting. Because I see the budgets and the expertise, the skill set, the knowledge is there. We just don't have enough folks. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough funding. Just like any other government entity that exists.
I want to make a quick comment. I'm going to go to the city of Coachella. I heard this through one of the local media outlets that the fine silt that's now left on top could be blowing for 2 to 5 years, depending on our weather patterns. So what does that mean? That helps us put in perspective what needs to be done, I think, for the future to support what Tom's doing. City Coachella?
My line of questions along that line, obviously this is a sand or silt that moved, mm-hmm. and if it's a natural course, how long naturally with wind, etc., should we expect that? And then, you know, it's a good question, can we move it back? And if we do move it, where to? And then what, you know, I mean, it really looks like there's going to be a couple of different efforts. Either we move it, we apply that green stuff, or we start watering it to try to keep it down. I mean, that's somewhat of a strategies that I've seen to kind of keep dust down. But and you know, we got to add a cost and can we look for federal assistance? I mean,
well, that's another piece to this, and the supervisor and you, Mayor, in your other capacity have been helpful on that. You might remember when I started crying about the sky falling last fall. We involved Bruce and emergency management from the county. And we made sure that applying the soil stabilizer was an eligible FEMA reimbursement expense. And so the cities that have applied that will eventually, might take 2 to 3 or 5 years to get reimbursed, but you will get reimbursed for that. However, those expenditures, I believe, had to be made before March 30th or something of this year, right, Emmanuel? We passed the 6 month or 7 month timeline. So one of the things I'd like to work on with the county is there a way to get FEMA to extend that and perhaps apply soil stabilizer everywhere we possibly can? Moving dirt to its source would be, or anywhere else, would be ridiculously expensive. We're talking about millions of cubic yards of material that came down from those mountains, along with a few oak trees and everything else. That's impractical. Watering it, impractical for some obvious reasons and maybe just a temporary fix. Soil stabilizer does work. How long it works is a question. And I think we ought to be out there monitoring that as much as we are monitoring air quality. You could drive down the freeway just like I did on Sunday at 3, and you could see it picking up exactly where Mission Creek deposited. We mapped this. We know where it's coming from. This isn't rocket science. We should be putting soil stabilizer. There are property questions. There are conservation-related questions. But we have most of the tools in the toolbox. We have powers here and cooperation that most agencies don't have. So I think we can be doing more. And that's one of the things we should be doing more of. And I'd like to make sure we can get reimbursed for it too. Millions of dollars.
That's going to be one of our bigger challenges as a multi-species habitat plan.
Right.
At Palm Desert.
On the topic of what we can do, is there a way to make sure that we're getting the best possible scientific input, geologists, climatologists, naturalists? I don't know if the green stuff long-term is the best approach, because I don't have any of those qualifications. I know in Palm Desert, in some locations, we're using a form of mulch that doesn't blow. So I'd love some expert input as to which of those might best contribute to any revegetation that is possible in some locations. It's a natural phenomenon, so we need to make sure we're working with nature for the ultimate solution. Maybe using the green stuff consigns us to green stuff for life. But if it holds it in place, but in essence freezes the potential problem so that it reemerges if you stop buying green stuff, that wouldn't necessarily be a happy scenario. So it might be a necessary scenario. But how can we tap that expertise?
That's the multi-million dollar question. I don't know. And I'd really like South Coast Air Quality Management District to be engaged on this.
Yeah.
And when the district is saying conditions are like normal, it's hard for them to focus on solutions. And that is my criticism. And I've got empathy for the agencies that don't have enough resources to focus on an issue. But this is a looming public health threat.
Mm-hmm.
That is central to the responsibilities of this air district. So
it is, Tom, I hear you, but look, I'll push back. I'll give the commission the same way about their issues. So at the end of the day, let's figure out a way that we're going to work with these folks to provide recommendations. We can go ahead and cry all we want here and point fingers and yell and be critical. That's not going to get us anywhere. I think we all know where we're at. Let's concentrate on what we're going to recommend so that when we hear from staff, whatever it is they're going to tell us, and obviously you have your questions ready, let's go ahead and provide those recommendations because that's what's going to get us moving forward.
A few more comments towards Martinez?
Real quick, I just want to, one of the main things that I noticed with the air quality, you know, that's going on is in the Eastern Coachella Valley where we're unincorporated, that's a lot of ag fields out there. Mm-hmm. So all of that mud that came through down there, like closed CBWD pipelines, that mud is still down here. And that's the lower part of the Coachella Valley. So if people start driving around and start moving around that stuff, it's going to go up in the air and it's going to cause a fog like any time the salt sea burps. So I don't want to leave out of the conversation the unincorporated areas because that's where a lot of that mud still sits because nobody's utilizing that land. So when they start tilling it up again and when they start utilizing it, it starts getting kicked up in the air. We can cover it with, you know, the PM10 cover all we want on this side of the valley, but you guys have buildings and stuff, so you guys aren't going to have as much as the mud deposits that we have down at the Eastern Coachella Valley. So we got to figure out how to address that situation because that's going to impact the rest of the Coachella.
Yes, any more?
Picking up on a point made by Tom and Supervisor Perez, particularly as it relates to seeking reimbursement from the feds, the first order of business is data collection.
Yeah.
You've got to make the case. We have to make the case that it's a significant health and safety problem. And you can't do that without the data. So hopefully that data can be collected in a relatively short period of time so we can get on with the solution end of it.
Ms. Andrea over here.
Yeah. But, I know the Resource Conservation District has sent a kind of public records request asking where has this dust surfaced from, and also what happens with the street sweeping dirt that gets collected. Is it taken out and just deposited that then blows again? So when you look at this body, the healthcare district, other conservation ag and agencies and entities, exactly. I think we not only do we need the data, we need to all agree on what that data is and get aligned so that solutions can be there. But I will be happy to propose tomorrow what the allocation the district's making is, if AQMD would agree to having, if they'd be willing to fund a study. I know they had done a study when there were the mulch fires down in the eastern Coachella Valley, when the tribes land that was tribal related were burning things that were impacting the schools and the residents down there. They funded a study to look at that impact. If they can do that again with part of their $1.5 million, that'd be something that we all agree upon, and maybe in connection with the experts that Kathleen mentioned from AQMD, then that is a first step too, as we're still trying to do some solution-based mitigation in trying to
develop. I mean, to start, we got to propose.
We've done them on the Salton Sea on impacts. Right. And Greater Palm Springs has done economic impacts.
Imperial County has done theirs as well for yes. Imperial County. In other words, their air quality management district did some similar.
Yes.
I haven't read it. I don't know what it says, but I understand that they have one as well.
So we get them to agree on an effort that we get funded here, some capacity maybe to the district.
Thank you. We got to take consideration of new construction too. I know in Cathedral City we're real stringent on new development, because if they don't take care of the property, the sand is blowing like crazy too. So, and that's what, like Greg said, we need more data to say how much is the cities do our combined we're doing keeping our dust down. Now we have a problem with the silt in the air. So I think it's important that all of our cities just keep on this new construction to make sure that doesn't add to it. I know, Ted, you've got a huge project going on in Ranch Mirage, and I've been by there many times, but the sand's blowing and it's down to a minimum. It's not too bad at all. So good job you're doing there. Thank you.
It's a challenge all the time.
Build the way out.
Well, I appreciate our conversation. Supervisor, thank you for representing us. Tom, thank you for your passion on this. I think you have enough support to move forward on a good conversation, right?
Yeah, I'll continue to work with the district, both districts, Healthcare District and South Coast, and continue to work with the county on perhaps, again, FEMA allowances that might allow us to at least temporarily apply the soil cement, because I do think that's a temporary solution in some places.
Just very quickly, I just got a note. I'm not sure if Pat might be watching or hearing, but she just sent me the text here, and I think it's a great point. Thank you, Pat. Dr. Lowell, I wonder if you remember Emmanuel or someone here at CVAC from UC Riverside did a study and a presentation of dirt storms and the health impacts specifically around Salton Sea. But I'm wondering if maybe we could use that as a form of reference, and then as well, maybe even bring in Dr. Lowe to start thinking about
this area.
Yeah. So just want to put that out there. Thanks, Pat. Where are we at?
Are you on?
Thank you, everybody, for the conversation. We're going to move back up on our agenda to item 8B as a boy, implementation of the Enterprise Resource Planning, the ERP project. Alan?
Chair Mattis and committee members, good afternoon. I'm Alan McMillan, Contracts Analyst and Procurement Lead for the ERP project. I'm presenting today an update on the update on the implementation of the Enterprise Resource Planning project. Included with the update is going to cover significant progress we made with project milestones during the past year.
Also highlights from the contract negotiations where we successfully recognized cost savings and a solid statement of work in the final contract. Also continuing with Barry Dunn for implementation support. At the April 2023 Executive Committee meeting, Barry Dunn was awarded the contract for providing CBAG Phase 1 ERP system selection services. We kicked off the project right in June with project planning and the kickoff meeting that was followed by fact-finding sessions with all CBAG staff and a needs assessment and identifying detailed requirements, over 25 requirements, that were suitable for an RFP. On October 10th, we released the RFP. We had four proposals, three of which were considered qualified responses. We, from the proposal review, we established a 8-member committee, evaluation committee. It was comprised of CBAG staff, a finance manager from Indio, and a councilman from the city of Cathedral City, our former chair, finance chair, Chair Raymond Gregory. The proposal review resulted in two vendors being shortlisted. They included Oracle NetSuite for Government and Tyler Technologies Munis Software. After extensive vendor demonstrations that lasted 2 weeks, we concluded with detailed reference checks and site visits and ranked Oracle as our number one vendor. As our preferred vendor, we then commenced contract negotiations, which lasted 7 weeks. They resulted, though, in a successful agreement and completion of the negotiations where we had a solid statement of work and our requirements were clearly our requirements and how the proposed software would meet those requirements was clearly identified. The Oracle NetSuite for Government cost, we represented it as a one-time and recurring over a 10-year period. The 10-year total cost to implement the Oracle NetSuite for Government is over $800,000. It includes one-time costs for professional services to implement the software, $241,000, and recurring costs that we locked in for 10 years at over $600,000. Professional services, we did recognize a significant savings, over 36% from their hourly rate, which resulted as a time and materials basis for incurring those costs. We received and noticed those savings at $241,000. The 10-year subscription cost, it's cloud-based software. The subscription costs are recurring over 10 years. We locked in those costs for 10 years. The total cost would have been $1.3 million. We were able to negotiate and receive discounts up to 53%. With the savings over $700,000 and a 10-year cost of $619,000. We now are looking at beginning the implementation phase with a recommendation for the Oracle NetSuite for Government and also continuing with Barry Dunn, who's our consultant for the selection phase, and have them continue to provide ongoing implementation support for a fee of $236,000. Our recommendation is to authorize the executive director to take the following actions for the implementation of the ERP project by executing an agreement for cloud services, professional services agreement, and related contract documents with Oracle America for the implementation of Oracle NetSuite for Government for a not-to-exceed amount of $860,175. And a second component or part would be an executive execute a professional services agreement with Barry Dunn for a not to exceed amount of $236,000 for implementation support during the implementation. That concludes my presentation. I'd open up any questions you may have.
Very much. Before we get to questions, I just want to take a moment and thank you for all the work back today. It's been a long road to get the program today, and really want to say a special thank you to the city, Cathedral City, Rittenberg. It was really a great resource.
That's wonderful.
So please pass it on. Do we have questions? Comments?
Move approval.
No small undertaking. That's necessary.
You have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? It's so fast.
Thank you so much.
No, item 8C, next steps for the Regional Pavement Management Program. Involvement.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. Randy Bowman here. We are here to request authorization for a contract to proceed with update to our regional pavement management program. I'm recycling some slides from Director Hoy's presentation in April, where we sought direction to proceed with this effort. This is a typical pavement degradation curve that a lot of us experience both professionally as well as personally. And the ways to deal with that, of course, are frequent and regular intervals of pavement maintenance activities. These maintenance activities certainly are informed by the data that one has on the condition of your roadways, plus best practices that communities can engage with to keep your pavements at a high level of performance. You know, here in the Valley, we've got the nine cities, and the approach that has been proposed is really to look at the entire Valley and the regional roadway arterials that run through the Valley and provide regional connectivity. Looking back 13 years ago, this last effort was conducted by a vendor, which resulted in the approval of a pavement management study. Here we are 14 years later, and we are proposing to update the data and replace the old report with a new report. We began after April's the executive committee's authorization to and direction to proceed with the effort. In April, we conducted a procurement activity using the newly minted qualified vendor list that the executive committee approved back in February. And we received ultimately two proposals from two of the vendors on the list, Michael Baker International and HR Green. And we evaluated the proposals and are recommending that Michael Baker International be awarded the report. Of particular note, MBI, as I refer to them, MBI has done work on this very topic of pavement management here in the Valley, in not only the city of Indio, but also fairly recently in the city of Coachella. So this effort is proposed to include collecting field data on pavement condition on the region's arterial roadways, including updating the study from 2011, and including a review of best practices for pavement management activities. Technology has changed. New methods have been introduced since 2011, so it is appropriate to look at best practices and update the toolbox, if you will, that we can have for maintaining pavements. And lastly, and really most importantly, we are proposing to have a stakeholder advisory committee consisting of representatives from our member jurisdictions to help inform. So this would be public works directors, city engineers, or others that will help inform this work. So we're here to request authorization for the executive director to issue a professional services agreement with Michael Baker for an amount almost $250,000, which does include 15% contingency because things do happen. Great ideas emerge through engagement and data collection. So we want to have a little bit of room to add to the work that we think we're going to proceed with, knowing that we learn as we go. And of course, ultimately, these professional services are to provide an update to the 2011 pavement management study. Here to answer any questions by the committee.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mayor Mirage, move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
Any opposed? Passes. Item 8D is a contract amendment for CB Sync Phase 2 Construction Support Services.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon. Before you is for an amendment for CB Sync Phase 2 with Advantech Consulting Engineers. Just to review really quickly, the Executive Committee awarded Phase 2 design to contract to Advantech back in 2018. They completed their design package in 2022. In December, they authorized Phase 2 construction and also added in Phase 2, 21 corridors to the original three, which was I-111, Ramon Road, and Washington Street. Originally, when we started construction, Advantech proposed a $4 million construction support services contract, but we chose to just limit and take it one step at a time. We gave them $1 million for construction support just to see how they did. And then in September 2023, we added another $1.5 million. And now with Phase 2 construction about 50% complete, we're proposing to add another $1.5 million to the contract. This work that they've been doing is not only the typical construction support that you'd see related to coordinated with the contractor and different agencies, but they also have been helping with adding in the broadband elements. The City of Indio and City of Palm Springs, these agencies have looking at our bundle of fiber and utilizing some of it for broadband services. So they've helped coordinate with that. They've also helped in the interim coordinate with new development, where we've had new development come in and it's impacted our existing system. So they've had to come in and provide support to resolve those issues. They've also helped us coordinate with the Arts and Music Line project and Avenue 50, Indian Canyon. So they're incorporating other elements. So the recommendation today is to increase their with an amendment of $1.5 million, which would be the original $4 million that they asked for when we started work. That completes my staff report.
Thank you very much. Question? There's a motion, a second. There's no further conversation. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
You opposed? Passes. Item 9 is all informational. Item 10, no slave items. Bing?
Yeah, well.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. Quick highlights on the legislative items we're tracking at the state level. As you've heard from me in the past, we've been really focused on tracking items as it relates to the state budget. Obviously, we can't
carry out a lot of our initiatives or programs if there is no funding tied to it. It also allows us to plan strategically for future funding for grants procurement or other projects that may be important to us. But as you may recall, earlier in January, $68 billion budget deficit, a lot of negotiations going on between state leadership and the governor's office. May 10th, the governor put out his May revise, addressed that $37.9 billion deficit through fund shifts, cuts, and deferrals. There was an early action budget plan that was approved by the governor and the legislature in April, and then May, there was a May revise, and that left the $27.6 billion deficit to address $8.2 billion for this fiscal year, and the majority of $28.4 billion in the 25-26 fiscal year through budget solutions. There were some key cuts that we were paying close attention to. I reported in the past, 50% cut to REAP 2.0. We had $19.4 million projects here in the Coachella Valley. Some tax credit cuts to the low-income housing tax credit. I know that was important from the housing perspective here in the Coachella Valley. Also cuts to the active transportation program, $300 million. Well, just at the end of last week, May 29th, there was a joint legislative budget plan, which addressed at least some of the programs that are important to us. The legislature, both the Assembly and Senate, rejected the governor's proposal to cut REAP 2.0, And also rejected the cuts to the active transportation program. So those are two key programs that are important, I know, for CVAG and our member jurisdiction. So we're keeping a close eye on that. Nonetheless, there are a lot of budget cuts throughout a number of programs in the climate space and other programs. So the joint legislature put out that budget plan. The governor is going to be negotiating with leadership. And there's some hearings that just occurred where there was a lot of input from stakeholders, and we're going to see what the outcome of that is. There is a lot of little details we're looking into, and we'll be reporting back when the budget gets approved June 15th with specifics on the final approved budget. On the legislative front, there's a number of bills that we're tracking. Just wanted to highlight a few key bills. AB 2535, we've been tracking this one, reported in the past regarding attempts by the legislature to enact policies that would restrict local funds by tying them to climate and housing goals of the state. Well, AB 2535, we submitted an opposed letter to that bill. It has been amended from the looks of the initial amendments. It looks like we will be moving into a neutral position. The bill got watered down, but we're doing that analysis. We're tracking that bill and working with Assembly Member Bonta's office on seeing the impacts of that bill and Kiana, the political group, our lobbyist. Also, we're tracking opportunities to continue to meet remotely for some of our committees here at TVAG. AB 817 by Pacheco relaxes some of the Brown Act rules and allows for committees that are committees such as our ENS committees or transportation committees that provide recommendations and are not final action approval committees to continue to meet via teleconferencing. So that bill is advancing. We did submit a support letter for that. It did get out of the assembly. Also, AB 2261, which supports our local tribe, 29 Pomban and Mission Indians, to be lead project on the Dillon Road project. That bill did get out of the assembly and advance and should be heard in the Senate Transportation Committee, I think, in June 10th. So we did submit a support letter for that. So there's another tranche of bills we're tracking, but those are just some of the key highlights I wanted to report to you, and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Good report. Any questions?
Question on AB 2535 with the amendments. I mean, if the whole bill was to put restrictions on our local funds, what was the amendment? Does it remove the restraint? I mean, how do we go from close to neutral?
It's a report. It got amended to do a report and recommendations. So something we're discussing, and I got to read Tom on those details as well before we take any position. But so far, our opposition position stands.
So any hook would still be an oppose in my book.
Yeah. Absolutely. Questions?
Thank you. Thank you. We will move to item 11, public comments on non-agendized items.
None, Chair.
Our announcements, our next executive committee meeting will be on Monday, June 24th at 4:30 p.m. in what city?
Desert House Breaks. Most important city in the Coachella Valley.
The next,
this year.
29 days.
Maybe 5 years.
No further business in front of us. We are adjourned. Well,